Do you know what your partner's up to when you're away and they're all alone?
No, what?
They're listening to the Screw podcast, of course.
What's that?
Sit back, relax, and listen.
And you're an orgasm addict. You're an orgasm addict. Sneaking in the back door with daddy magazines. So your mother wants to know what all the stains on the jeans. And you're an orgasm addict.
Hi, everybody. You're listening to the Screw podcast with Felice Rose Maylow.
Oh, my God. I forget. Doesn't that character have a name?
I don't remember. Oh, no. That was... Oh, fuck. What was his name? Chad?
Charlie?
Was it Chad?
No, I feel like it wasn't a Chad.
Charlie?
I think it was a Charlie.
Oh, no. Oh, God. Oh, God. My... Oh, no. What? Oh, no. My laptop charger was sitting in a puddle of water.
Oh, my God. Like we'll be partway through the podcast and, like, what? You're going to catch fire or be electrocuted? Fire.
Yeah. It's horrible. Both of those options sound just so delightful. So. Oh, my God. Stop. Oh, my God. Remind me tomorrow. Stop yelling at me. My computer yells at me because, like, I haven't updated it in 7 years, so.
Oh, it gives you, like, reminders. It's like, hey.
Yeah, and it just does it over and over
Bitch,
again.
You forgot to douche me. Please douche me.
It's like, we're actually going to not allow this... prompt to stop flashing unless you actually do it.
I know, that's like really violent now. Like eventually it's like you have to stop everything and restart this right now. Well, at least that's mine because of like, you know, it. Every time you use anything associated with these colleges or whatever, they have like their whole security requirements for you, like must restart computer and do security updates now. You're like, fuck,
aggressive.
Man.
Very aggressive.
When did my life get ruled by computers? What the hell? It's been like a hot 20 minute.
Years ago.
I know. Oh, my God.
Should
I
smoke this, do you think?
Yeah, that looks delicious.
Isn't it pretty?
Oh, it's delicious. It's like a Lil J.
It's literally like, that's like basically the name. It's called Jeeters, like Lil Jeeters.
Oh my God, it's so cute.
Isn't it cute? And so, it's sativa, so.
Oh shit, you're going to be rocking off the walls, bitch.
Maybe, we'll see. But my in-person session yesterday brought it to me, so that was very nice. Left me a little pack of them.
So how are you feeling about the like in-sessions? I know it had been a hot minute since you'd done one, like...
It was really good. I will say, I wasn't going to say much about the sessions because like, I like to keep people's personal information private, but
no, of course,
yesterday's, although I'm pretty sure I gave a lot of information last time, but yeah, yesterday's it went really well. And afterwards the person was in, the bathroom, like cleaning up, and I heard them whisper to themselves. That was really hot. Like more than
oh
once.
My
and it
gosh.
Was so cute. I was like, did you just whisper to yourself? That was really hot. And he was like, oh, I did not mean to like do that out loud.
That is so fucking
like,
beautiful.
Adorable. Like it was a really cute like moment. I was like, oh, I'm so like that is like the most fulfilling thing in the world.
Know,
is like, somebody just being so stoked on something right. that like I could provide them.
Unsolicited,
you know?
Accidental like compliments are the fucking best. And like they're so great for confidence too, because it's like you probably felt fine about your whatever, but it's so great to hear it and you're like, fuck, yeah, I am the shit. That's right. Okay.
Yeah. You know what? Listen. You do this job for so long and you know, like I've always explained, like I'm not financially super successful, but like I really take a lot of pride in what I do and it keeps a roof over my head. It's my job. But because you do it for so long, you know, eventually people have been your customers forever. They stop, you know, giving you those same initial compliments or whatever. You start to doubt yourself over time based on however much. And it's really nice when people still... you know, make sure that you know. And but like the accidental utterance was so cute. I was like, that is adorable. He was like, literally, I thought I was saying that to like in my head. I was like, that is so cute. Well, he was like, that was so hot.
I mean, and isn't that interesting on some level? I've always been somebody that like makes people uncomfortable post orgasm because like I will sit in the minute and be like, that was fucking incredible, you know, or like.
That makes people uncomfortable. That's like my favorite aftercare.
Queen.
Like, let's.
I mean,
let's, Let's regroup. I would never.
I think maybe it's because people are afraid there's going to be a critique or something.
But I would never do that.
Like that, I'm not interested in people being more complicated sexually than they already are. Like, I do think it's like if you had a positive experience. I mean, maybe it's because they didn't share in that experience. Who the fuck knows? I don't care. But like, I feel like if I am comfortable enough to cum in front of you, I'm comfortable enough to tell you afterwards how good that cum was. You know,
it seems like nothing is hotter than like sitting in your cum and talking about how hot it was, and then getting a chub again.
Yeah,
and possibly starting up again. Just thinking. So, like, lately, I've been fucking on camera, and then that person and I will watch back the footage, like, within 30 minutes.
Bitch, get out of my head.
It's so hot.
Get out of my head. I had never had a partner in, previously. Like, I've had partners that have wanted to record, but... I feel like they've wanted to record to kind of have like something in their like archives or to, you know, wank bank later or whatever, or, you know, and I don't, in general, I don't care if my face is not in it. And if you like see a video and you know what my ass looks like, then like, there's not a problem here. You've already seen it. you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, it's Aaron being a puta. And that's totally cool. But like, I finally had a partner about, I don't know, I'm going to say like 6 years ago, who was like, hey, let's record. And recorded like him fucking me. And like, I was like surprised to be, I went and peed and whatever and came back. And he was watching the video we had just made.
Immediately,
boned up and jerking. It was like, you ready for like a second round maybe? And like, I was like, why? Like, it showed me the video and I was like, and it's always awkward, right? Watching yourself getting like either penetrated or even being the penetrator, like, can be like an awkward watch. Just like, I mean, you're watching yourself, period, you know. And I mean, I'm sure you're very immune to that experience, but
it doesn't even faze me anymore.
Exactly, like, that angle, or
I fall asleep rewatching when I'm editing.
That's hilarious.
It's like reading a book for me for some reason. I have to rewind and rewatch all my videos 100 times in a row because I literally
fall repetitive.
Like you said, I'm so immune.
Yeah, repetitive and monotonous activities are exhausting too.
Exactly.
Like,
yeah.
I mean, I won't.
I do remember my initial watching. It's the same thing as like recording a podcast for the first time. You know, that initial. You know, you don't hear your voice the same. You don't see yourself. You don't have a POV view of yourself while you're fucking. Right, yeah. So like, you're seeing all these new angles for the first time that you never saw yourself in or from. You know, it is very intimidating, especially like, even if you've filmed a bunch of times, but like, if it's not your daily routine, it's still shy. Like,
that's
you still
so true.
Feel shy and like a little awkward. Now in my life, it's like I could film it and watch it in that same moment while I'm doing something different. Like, I'll film the thing and then watch it while I'm getting fucked and then like edit it while I'm getting fucked.
That's like kind of hilarious.
But anyways, go on. Yes.
No. I mean,
you feel shy watching yourself.
I mean, yeah. I mean, and it's totally the same thing with when we started doing this podcast, like, and like, I had to edit it listening to my voice. I mean, it's a weirdly jarring / out of body thing. You know, like, you write a poem and that poem doesn't talk back to you. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's your inner dialogue, but you don't have to hear it say, bitch, this is what your voice sounds like when you're talking, you know? And look, one of the things I've always loved about being your friend is when we first met in the human psychology of human sexuality class was that... You know, I don't remember where we were, what discussion we were having, but we were like basically talking about like the quality of our puta nature, that we were like not like the hottest, sexiest fucking person in a room, but everybody wanted to fuck us. And that's like about, that's about like having a certain comfortability with yourself. And it's not even like like confidence per se, because like, you know, to me that's like confidence in sex means like you're studying it. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Being comfortable in your own skin, or like knowing how to get to a space where you're comfortable in your own skin, like, cuz I know you know, you weren't a big clothes off person in the past, but like you figured out how to get, you know, control the like parameters of the situation to put you in a position where you felt comfortable and could like go full on puta. And I love that. Like I've always loved that energy and the ability to have these like conversations. Cause I was thinking the other day when you're like, I think you said something about like, did you miss the like old Felicia for a while? Like the one talking about sex on the podcast and stuff like that. Yeah. And like, you know, it's always a thing, because when you're friends with somebody, you know, you sign up for like all seasons of their life, so to speak, at least in my head, right? So, you know, we're not always on our like life A game or B game or C game. Like it switches up, things happen, you know, and our energies change, like based on like, yes, who we're dating, where we're living, how well we're like comfortable financially or mentally. And I think that's really important, because I've been thinking like our whole journey as friends, literally from starting like the Pride Alliance and everything else that we got our hands dipped in, was really about pleasure. We wanted to like balance that, you know. I mean, I remember specifically saying, I don't want the Pride Alliance to be like all this or all that. It needs to feel social. It shouldn't feel de-sexed, because there's so much like de-sexing in the world already. And if you're going to participate,
and it shouldn't feel like only sex.
Right. And it shouldn't feel like only sex either. And, you know, it's one thing that I realized, it's like a lot of queer people, queer men and women, like, I think that they have like sometimes an issue with like friendships. You know, there's this, you know, kind of like, and like, look, I think you should flirt with everyone. That's my style. But I think we build, you know, and it makes sense. A lot of what we know about relationships and sexuality are modeled by heterosexual people, which are in general mad uncomfortable about like these situations. Right. Have all sorts of sets of rules around dating and like men and women being friends and all these kind of fucking rules about like, you know, how you can operate socially. So, you know, but I think queer friendship is super important. And, you know, I was reading this horrible thing the other day about like since COVID, the like actual decline in close friends since like the last time they did the study. I think they did it in like 2016 or something like that. And it's just like this, you know, casual like fall off. Like a lot of people used to have 10 plus close friends, and now that number is like only 13% of the population has 10 close friends. And like when you divide it by like men and male and women identifying, the men are down to 5%. You know,
really,
it's kind
of like I know, because it's men like feel like always keep their friendships, right, from like
but
elementary school.
It seems to be the biggest tumble, right? And like, you know, and maybe that is like the pride of like declining success rates among men, like the, you know, we know that the mental health status of men in the United States has been on the decline for a while. And you know,
yeah, that's been a topic that's been really like present and prevalent in my life lately. You know, maybe it's because I'm doing the talk times and I'm just seeing it more firsthand. I'm helping people get therapists and stuff, but like also I just feel like it's there's a lot of dialogue about it, which is really good. There needs to be more dialogue about it, but I'm not necessarily seeing, and I don't know for sure because I'm not looking at numbers, but I'm not necessarily seeing a correlation between the dialogue and people actually getting the help. In my direct life, I'm having a little bit of a different experience because I am helping people firsthand, but like that's only a couple people a month, right? And so like that's great. That's a great thing, right? But at the same time, that's not enough. And like, I wonder what that looks like outside of a space where people feel comfortable being like, yes, actually, here's my insurance information. I need you to help me. Because sometimes people like literally just need hand. I remember I had not gone to the doctors, not even mental health wise, just like I hadn't gone to the doctors in what, 4 years, 5 years, mm-hmm. like, I don't remember. And I just needed someone to hold my hand, and you held my hand and you got me back. Did I stay like on track for a while? No, but you started me back on my health journey, and I was able to go to a couple doctors and get a couple of things like, you know, just like looked at, which was so important to me. And I think sometimes we just need like to admit we need like a body double or a hand. Like, can you please help me look this up? Because it's for me, and because it's for me, that's intimidating. And once I take totally. That first step, it makes it real. You know, it's like things like that. And sorry, I totally sidelined this conversation.
This is actually a really important. This is totally a good direction, because here's the thing. Like, I know you remember a few years ago, I said there's going to be a wildness of mental health fallout after the pandemic. You know, what is even more like kind of, you know, this stuff has been happening since like the financials of this country since 2008, and a bunch of like wealth was wiped away, you know, at the drop of a hat. And like that keeps happening in our society. And like people see that, and it's numbers on a television, but it's actually people in the real world too. And like it's the experience of like the actual downgrading of like life for lots and lots and lots of people. And like, you know, and there's a fallout to that, especially when you are brought up on the American dream and the myth of the meritocracy. Our success is so tied to what we can afford to do and afford to be in the world. And like, then add in the whole conversation about pleasure and people experiencing pleasure. Like, our dysfunction is real. But I do think, like, you know, it's more of people don't know what they're feeling, because it's like, I feel a way now, and it's hard to connect it to all of like these major wild events that are like are affecting. Like, people don't appreciate how much human beings are really like traumatized by life events and world events. It's a real thing. So you have to kind of like do your inventory and say, what do I need right now? If I am feeling in a place where I can't experience or feel pleasure, or I am like not socializing, or I'm realizing I'm not leaving the house and I'm not connecting with people or family that I like, you know, what is going on for me? And I tell a lot of people, like, it is hard. And I would recommend, if you have one of those old-fashioned full-time jobs with, like, a list of benefits, look into, like, your, like, plus-plus benefits. Your, what are they, EAPs or EP, like, their employee assistance plans that a lot of employers, like, set up with. And, like, usually you can see it somewhere in your, like, list of benefits. And they can actually help you do so many things that, like, seem kind of stupid and bougie, but, like, even... Just doing it and working with somebody that will help navigate, you know, like be a healthcare navigator for you. Say like, hey, it sounds to me like you need this, this, and this. Let me assist you with doing that. And like, again, also Google. There's a lot of like state and city run services that will literally do these kind of things like that. You know, you've been like so gracious to help people with, Felicia. If you don't know anybody who has to know how and are feeling like, I liked your point where like, it's about me, it feels overwhelming. That's true for a lot of people, and that's real. We can't ignore it and just say like, man up, like these days means like you don't do anything and you end up a statistic. So like, let's not do that.
Well, and instead try to reword it as man up and do the thing you're actually more scared to do, which is the thing.
Right.
You are much more scared to do the thing than you are to not do the thing. Mm-hmm. So actually man up and do the scarier thing. Like if that's how, if you needed to machismo yourself into it, do it like that, you know? And this isn't just for men, obviously. This is for non-binary. This is for women. This is for trans people. This is for every single type of person that exists in this world, especially under the queer umbrella. Mm-hmm. Everybody needs mental health help. Everybody needs health stuff in general. And so like, and there's also a lot of clinics that will offer a resource like a social worker, which can also help handhold you into the processes that you need. And we've talked about this a lot, but it just keeps coming up. And I just, you know, I have a lot of friends struggling right now. And if you are listening, which I think a few of you actually are, just like know that, you know, there are plenty of resources out there. So if you feel like you're a burden to your friends, or if you feel like you're a burden to yourself, like, just do the first step, which is to find the resource and like schedule the appointment.
Yeah, one fucking little thing at a time.
Resource, yeah, that resource will soon become a, you know, a habit, and a habit becomes, you know, a positive scratch itched in your brain. You know, like think about things about like the reward, the feeling of reward that you get. It's the same way working yourself up to go work out when you're not in the mood to, right?
Yeah.
You know how good it's going to feel at the end of it. You just have to do the first part of that.
Yeah.
And once you get past that first step, you get the reward. You want Absolutely. The reward. So do it and make it a thing. And
you know what? The first littlest step is really the asking for help. That's it. You know, and it may just be even asking the question, hey, do you know where I should start? You know, and you know, it should be somebody you trust. And like, hey, again, you can always slide into these DMs. Like, my life is spent in healthcare.
Yeah,
so
definitely.
Never be shy about reaching out for that. I'm not here to be your therapist or anything like that, but I am certainly like a non-judgmental, friendly navigator. So if you need navigation, like, sign on up, you know? And I mean, these are all things. I mean, the reason I got into this is because, you know, we say we're a sex podcast, and I am extraordinarily interested in people having pleasure in the world, because what can I tell you? It feels good. It feels healthy. It feels, you know, smiles are great. You know, having a positive, like, mental time, like, you know, these things are not just about willing yourself to be happy. It's an active trying process. And yes, there's a lot of privilege behind it, but let's talk about basics. Let's scale things to where you are at in your life right now, whether, you know, that's very baby steps, like, hey, I'm suffering in this way. Do I have an option to not suffer like this right now? What is the most pressing suffering going on? And, you know, one can't promise you that there's something to solve it, but there's certainly a direction that can help you, like, manage whatever stress you're going through around it. And even sometimes that's all we need to, like, suffer through it. Like,
yeah.
I ain't gonna sugarcoat you, you know, but, like, I sit in this world where, like, you know, I was having this conversation the other day. You know, we get in these, like, locksteps with life, whether you're going to work every day, whether you're going to school, like, raising a family, pets, whatever. And we do seriously neglect our lives. I made this, like, horrible joke that, you know, those, like, flash mob dances that people do. And, like, I was like, you know, they were so cool the first couple of times. And then when I started seeing them, I'm going to be, like, real honest. The thought in my head said, these people just woke up and were so fucking bored with their lives and so disgusted with what they saw in the mirror that they decided to go and spend a bunch of time working on this thing they were going to do fucking once, and it was going to be the best goddamn experience of their fucking lives.
Wait, are you fun judging, Aaron?
No, I'm not fun judging. Let me explain.
Nah, you're fun judging.
Let me explain.
You're totally fun.
Some of it comes some of it comes from that episode where Mitch and Cam do, like, the thing, and Cam is so upset because, like, he wants to be part of it, but he didn't know about it. So he's, like, totally, like, what the fuck, you did this without, like, a different set of issues come, all sorts of issues come up with this topic. So anyways, I'm using it as a pivot for saying, you don't want to find yourself 45 and your, like, only connection to, like bringing yourself back into happiness is having to join a flash dance mob. I would like greater things for you in the world.
I love how judgy you are about flash mobs. That's so fun. I didn't know that you had an aversion to them. This is great. I cannot wait to literally book a flash mob for your next person. I'm gonna haunt you with them for the rest of your life.
Well, and
to the point where you're gonna end up liking them. They're gonna be outside your window, and you're gonna look outside and be like, "You fucking cunt!
I know. I totally will.
I love it.
It's like my partner always threatens to buy me a small dog, And then I'm like one of those like little bitsy like chihuahui ones. Anyways,
chihuahui.
Chihuahua. Okay. This is my connection though. My connection to this is like I'm saying you have to be intentional about time to yourself and pleasure, even in relationships. And like because this is like a trickle out effect. I don't want you to find yourself that like you have so not paid attention to like your pleasure and what you need that you think that is what you need. It means there's been like an inefficiency in tending to your joy is all I'm saying. And this is where it gets sexual because like, look, if you're monogamous or non-monogamous, I think it is very important that you have time with yourself, your own desires, your own fantasies, your own kind of like pleasure responsibility, like for your own body. And I do think that this has an incredible like trickle out effect to everything. Like I will like say to partners like, hey, you know, I love hanging out with you. Yeah, you know, we live in a world where people are like kind of afraid, like, if we disconnect from them, like intentionally, we're getting sick of them. And that's why I'm saying, like, this is always a good thing to build into your relationships from fucking day one, if you can, is that idea that, like, no matter how much you enjoy each other, making space for yourself is incredibly important, especially if you want, like, longevity in that relationship or that partnership or that friendship. Like, there needs to be the ability to say, hey, I'm going to take some time to understand myself and my, like, thing. And I usually do this for myself. Like, it's like I'll do like writing and some porn and some, not even necessarily like I'm non monogamous, but I'm not even talking about like for the purposes of like, oh, I'm going to make sure like I'm having sex with other people and doing other stuff. It's more like I want to pay attention to what I want right now and nobody else. And yeah. We have such
everybody needs a fucking alone time.
They do. They do.
Absolutely.
Intentional alone time, though. I'm talking about, like, literally.
Planned, intentional.
For you, make sure you're thinking about pleasure. Make sure you're, like, directing it towards pleasure.
I will say, some of the healthiest relationships that I've kind of bared slight witness to are the people that are subscribed to me. And either their partner is also subscribed to me, or their partner knows that they are subscribed to either me, or just they know that they're subscribed to somebody, and their partners know that they get alone time and or customs with or from me. I have one customer, for example, that they have like a session, like a kind of almost a standing session, almost every other Sunday. And their partner knows it's like their fun time with Felicia and their partner is not around. They're out there like upstairs cleaning or doing. I don't actually know what they're doing. I'm pretty sure they're probably like maybe doing their own thing. Who knows? But like they're not around. Mm-hmm. They give them the space. And then that person either does like a Skype with me, a sexting session or something.
Yeah.
And while that level of openness is obviously not everybody's cup of tea and comfort level, sure. But I will say that relationship, they like has stood the test of time. This person has been a customer of mine for a very long time, and they've always been open with their partner about paying for sex workers instead of just going on the internet and jerking it to free porn.
Totally.
And which their partner really respects, obviously. And because they have, you know, they try to be like ethical consumers when possible. And I think they're probably one of the healthiest couples I've ever seen. And I've seen a lot of my clients get in and out of relationships over time. And I will say like that planned alone time, and I'm not saying it has to even be a sexual component, but like that planned alone time where there is the possibility of enjoying sex and sexuality on whatever level it is that you, I won't say require, but like really like, you know, requirement is different, but we'll get into that a different time. But like the stuff that really like, that is your stuff, maybe that you don't do with your partner, things like that. That is so important. You need that. You need to have sexual autonomy. If you do not have sexual autonomy, then you do not have the ability to be with somebody else in a really free way.
Yeah.
Because you don't feel free with yourself.
Totally.
If you don't have the ability, which is why for so long I was not feeling even like my normal libido, because like I wasn't connected with myself sexually. And so like there's pieces of that you can look at and just say, well, of course, like, you couldn't be with other people because you weren't even being with yourself in this moment. So I think it's really important to not lose yourself in the the relationship or whatever shuffle, whatever it is you're doing. Don't lose your time with yourself. It's really important.
Absolutely. Because even in all scenarios applied, if you're spending some time with yourself, like enjoying yourself, enjoying the feel of yourself, enjoying the thoughts of yourself, and I don't just mean sexually, but like on that level too, you know, then you can come back to your other sexual partnerships with like more insight into like yourself and what turns you on and what excites you. And I know, like, look, it feels really tough and complicated for a lot of people because we are really raised with these concepts that when you like sexually and romantically pair up with people that, you know, they're entitled to some exclusivity NDA clause or something with your like body and your time and your emotions. And I get it. Like, I'm not here to deconstruct that for you. That's a whole other story. But I would say take some time to be very intentional with understanding what like excites and pleasures you. And like, even that may lead you back to like wondering like, well, what things can I explore with my partner that I haven't explored yet? Because it's very easy when you have a regular partner to get into a rhythm of something you both do together very well, that you have a chemistry together, that you know is kind of like a sure thing, we're both gonna like bust kind of reality or like orgasm or be satisfied on whatever level, right? So I think like, you know, you're trying to tease out like keeping like your own self refreshed in your sexual energy. Like, otherwise everything does become like a little like monotonous in some way, and it doesn't need to, right? Because whether you're poly or not, if you're like spending time in your imagination and in your own desire, you're evolving it. It's not just sitting there getting used to whatever it is, you know. And like, because I'm non-monogamous, I think it's incredibly always important for me to frame my enjoyment with this partner, even if there is something that we get into like a regular group. Oh, I like doing this with this person. That's fucking great. What I think people can get caught up in is like, I only do this with this person, or this is the only person I do anything with. So, you know, what am I doing to tend to those other needs and desires and pleasures that I am not like tending to? Right. Because I think that is where like relationships and things become kind of crusty. You know, even friends with benefits, right? No, but like, really, you know, what I always liked about long-term fuck buddies is like, it could be like 2 years. And because you like, know you have that chemistry with that person, you come back to it and they're like, hey, so, you know, I tried this thing with this other dude once. And I want to see, you know, is it something you'd be curious to try? Because it was really exciting. And because I trust our chemistry and I trust like, you know, that you won't even if you don't want to do it, you won't necessarily like judge me or turn me down, you know? And I think that's great, you know? So, yeah.
So speaking of things you like, the other day I filmed my first free use video and it's so hot.
What is that? Wait, what does free use mean? What does that mean?
So free use is usually like a person doing a task and someone coming up behind them and just like fucking them, and like the person basically continuing the task and pretending like they're not being fucked the whole time. So my free use video is me laying on my bed writing in my diary. And all of a sudden, my co-star comes up behind me and fucks me. Uh-huh. And I continue writing my diary entry the whole time and pretend like I'm not being fucked the entire time, including after he comes on my ass. And then he leaves the room and I continue to write my diary entry. And I will say that I actually wrote a full diary entry, even though it got very squiggly at one point. But it's so hot because I don't break character once, to the point where my co-star was like, at one point I looked up and into the camera to make sure like everything was okay, because you literally were not reacting at all. And I was like, well, that's the point.
Right.
Like, that was really good acting. I was like,
That's the thing.
So I haven't released it yet, but I think I'm going to edit and release it today after my next session because I'm like, it was really hot.
That's always so wonderful. Like, there are very, you know, and I must admit, I always used to think I was super good at staying in character. But I think it's mostly because I knew I could be the only, like, the main rock and, like, stay in character the whole time. But when you start getting partners that can also stay in character, I, like, crack up sometimes. I'm like, I cannot believe it. Because, like, you feel like you're in a fucking play all of a sudden or like an actual porno. And you're like, wait. Oh, wow. This is like, you find yourself like, this is really hot, but also outrageous because you would never say that like line actually, you know,
and
I love it, you know, it's like, I mean, and that's, you know, that's all I've been talking about. Like, do fun things, enjoy, you know, I mean, like. I know you have like, it's kind of a labor, right? I know. You know, this is always the thing, like, as someone who's also, like, spent, like, many years, like, you know, making money off of, like, sex and sexuality on some level, like, either because of had to or wanted to kind of scenarios, I, you know, I always, like, there's this major check we always have to do with our sexuality, you know, like, you know, we all know how powerful sexuality is, and it can be a huge, like junky adrenaline rush on some level. And people can get like lost in it for a hot minute. You know, you still gotta like, you still gotta feed.
Lost in the sex sauce.
Oh my God. Lost in the sex sauce. Uh-huh.
I know. You know what's so funny is I'm the person that always like after everybody comes and has their like moment of like breathing, I'm like, okay, everybody go urinate now. Everybody has to get up and pee. No UTIs in this home. And everybody's like, oh, really? I'm like, yeah, no, yeah, gross. Get up and pee. Like, come on.
Uh-huh, exactly.
Get that bacteria out of your urethra. Like, let's go.
Well, and the thing for me is like I love whatever like post-sex like filth, but I'm always worried like I'm gonna get something in my contacts and like one just can't afford like an eye infection, like considering everything I do involves like my eyes and computers, so you know, like, oh, my poor eyes, like I want to put like goggles on. That would make me laugh, so.
I think I'm off all my nails right now.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Are these the color-changing ones?
Yeah, well, they're like, it's time for them to come off, but also I want a fresh set, but also I can't afford a fresh set, so I'm just going to rip them off and let my nails breathe for a few days, and then hopefully somebody sends me, like, fresh set money or whatever.
So do your nails, like, your real nails grow out, like, a pretty healthy rate? Like how's your biotin?
Well, oh, yeah, my nails grow really quickly because, like, underneath is, like, very grown out, yeah.
That's cool. That's cool. We talk
about. But, like, they're going to be junk underneath now because, like, you know, a layer will be ripped off, essentially.
Someday I'll have nails. You know, after work.
Oh, right. You poor thing.
Hey.
You have, like, nubbins.
No, but I meant to tell you, you were inside my brain again with that last story because I got this fucking fetish request the other day. Ooh, and it was, like, this, like, fucking 25-year-old twink or whatever. I guess that's kind of twunk by 25. I don't even know anymore. Because, like, as I get older, like, you're all so painfully young, it hurts my soul sometimes. But, like, in a good way. Like, it's like, aw, keep baking, hit me up, and we'll get to it. But his fantasy was so fucking specific. He wanted to be, like, picked up and, like, put on your,
like,
you know,
physically, like,
yeah, physically picked up and put on your cock and, like, walked around in public in some, like, way of which, like, nobody would know you were inside him. And I was like, first of all, bless your soul. I'm sure it's hot. I'm sure. But, like, let's talk about all the physical, like, realities of this. Mm-hmm. One, like, you would have to hold on really fucking well, because if you slip down and break my dick, we got a problem, right? Like, two, I would have to be able to walk and maintain one fucking stellar fucking boner the whole fucking time. And three, where would you do this exactly that you think nobody is not going to know there's a, like, why is one adult carrying another adult around his waist? Like, you're not a monkey, like, or a sloth, or any of those things that, like, tend to hug and
run. This is one of those really specific ones that this person hunts for, like, years to find something that'll do it with them.
I mean,
They'll find it eventually.
I get the whole fuck standing up and, like, walking around, like from wall to wall that I fuck you against. That's, like, one thing. Sure, but, like, going on a hike, like... With, like, what? Like, holes cut in our pants? Like, but, like, fully clothed? Like,
going
what?
Going on a hike with a boy backpack?
On the front? That you turned to the front?
Penetrated in? Like, what the?
Oh, my God.
So confusing.
And so very specific. And when, like, he sent the fetish over, it was filled with so many, like, bizarre grammatical errors that, like, I so let me clarify. Because it was, like, in or on, like, you know, just the use of certain words, and I just didn't get it. And it's like, I'm not sure that's physically possible, my love. But, like, great fetish. Like, I will, like, pretend like, if you want to dirty talk this out, totally sure, on sure. board. Yeah. I'll be like, I'm walking you down the trailhead in Sandia National Forest. And, like, you know, the fucking muskrats and the porcupines are, like, in the trees. And, like, you know, you're bouncing up and down as the trail curves. Like, I mean, just, like, I love it, though. Because, like, you know, it kind of doubles back to this whole, like, the human mind is, like, so ready to imagine pleasurable situations on so many different levels and be very imaginative with it. It needs to be prioritized. You know, when I was young and I used to say, oh, adults are so depressing. And, like, you see, like, the minivans and the velour tracksuits and the whatever. And, like, the soccer moms with, like, kids they didn't even.
What's wrong with velour tracksuits, huh?
No, nothing. It's
making fun of my people?
It's beautiful.
Making fun of my
no, it's
my
beautiful.
People? That's
it's
my culture.
It's
that's
beautiful.
My goddamn culture.
Girl,
is that a problem?
It's beautiful.
Is that a problem?
No, no
is that
problems.
A problem?
No problems.
Problem?
No,
come
no
to
problems.
Come to Staten Island. I'll meet you down in Nelson.
No,
come to
but
Staten Island.
For sure.
Come to Staten Island.
Yeah. So, you know, reach out and explore some of those. Okay. Yeah, like
reach out and touch my butt. Right?
Yeah, somebody very wise once told me many years, like an elder in the queer community, that like the most important thing that they had found to like aging and their sexuality was like staying on the bus, you know, remembering to like make a point and prioritize your pleasure, like keep fucking, keep like making it a priority in your life to be romantic and to be sexual, and you will continue to be so, you know. And I think that's, you know, consentfully so, obviously. I feel like that one even has to say it, but like on some level I read these things and like people have to say it.
Like, they do
because like I mean even on the apps, like Grindr had this new like thing about like it's like a almost a thing that you read but you can just click out of, about like rules of consent or whatever, and like pledging to be like consentful or something on like the app. And then like, you know, this has been a big debate for years, like whether it's like and horribly rude to start out your conversation with dick and asshole pics. And like the queers will be like, I am just being a little too like sensitive about it. But no, like there's nothing more like kind of jarring. And maybe this is like horrible to say, but like you want the choice because like, not all of these things look good to you. Sometimes they'll
no,
look...
No, that's not... It's not horrible to say. And also, sometimes you're not in the right mindset, even right. if it does look good to you.
Yeah.
I could open up a picture of a gorgeous cock, but because it was sent to me without consent or at the wrong time,
right.
it now becomes disgusting.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm now literally physically disgusted by
yeah.
it.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, I have yeah. been for years... like ever since gay.com and Manhunt and all those like other iterations of the fucking slam piece computer generation apps, Yahoo chat rooms, whatever, have been asking, you know, even when I had dial up AOL instant messenger where it took 14 minutes.
Sex location.
Yeah. It took you 14 minutes to send a heavily pixelated picture of anything, let alone your dick pic. But I still asked from day one, is it okay to send you some XXX pictures or whatever you think that they're interested in? You know, you know, and I like that. And when people don't do it, I'm not going to lie, I think two things. One, you're like incredibly desperately trying to get fucked right now, and that is like to like recall the words of Juliet Lewis in Natural Born Killers, you're too fucking eager, man. Don't be too fucking eager. So like, you know, I really like consent, I like sexuality, I like all of these things, and I'm gonna be mad intentional about it for now into the rest of my life, because no matter what has happened to me, whether I've been like good in wealth or like struggling, prioritizing my pleasure has like helped take the like the bite out of like everyday life. And I think, you know, I see it all the time. Like,
take the bite out of crime.
Yeah, you know, because you got these couples, like, isn't anybody sick of the tropes in the heterosexual community of hearing these things that are so negative about husbands and wives and how they don't fuck each other anymore and they're bored and they all have like functional like wine drinking habits, you know, like isn't that fucking boring? Like you and society, like it's such a dull blah representation of like existence, and this is what we're all forced into like wage labor for, is to satisfy this. This is the dream. Like, nah, no thank you. I rather travel, eat good food, fuck my brains out, or, you know, just fucking stay at home and fuck my brains out. You know, like
all of that sounds beautiful.
Honestly, the only difference of when I have money versus when I don't have money is the location of which I fuck my brains
out. Literally. I was gonna say that.
I hate to make that so like priority, but you know, but seriously, it is like it is. And I swore to myself way before I met you in human sexuality class that like I was going to take my sexuality like very seriously, because wow, what a crazy ride sexuality is. And like we don't honor it in like that fascination way as nearly as often as we should, because everybody's like lost in labeling it rather than like experiencing it. So like
that's a good way of putting it.
Let's just feel how radical. Like I just still remember like adolescence when it was like I knew I was thinking about things that definitely were not being represented anywhere in like anything that I could see in nature and culture. And I wasn't stupid. I knew what these things were. I read about these things. There were queers in the family. You know, like there was some exposure. And like, you know, I certainly was one of those first like teenagers to go to like the nearest queer bookstore, even if it was 110 miles away, and like start seeing the posters about Alexander the Great being queer and possibly Abraham Lincoln. And I like swallowed it all up and like, you know, started reading about like Sapphos and like just, you know, like everything becomes this like beautiful journey that queer has always been and always existed. And, you know, that sexuality is like historically and always been an incredible part of how human beings like play out their lives. So like let's, you know, celebrate that as much as we can, you know. And I do recognize, like, you know, that's why we were talking about like tending to yourself, healthcare, mental health. Like I certainly recognize if we are not well, we are not prioritizing or thinking about like sex, you know, it becomes like one of the first obstacles. But I will also say like that happens so easily because we are not intentional about our pleasure, like ever, and not just sexual pleasure, our pleasure. What we need to feel good is not what we start talking about at the beginning of every day. And that should be how every day starts for you. What do I need today to feel as good as possible? I know I got shit to do. I know I got fucking fish to fry and pans to fucking pot or whatever. But what can I do today to make sure like it's a good day for my pleasure, that I can go to sleep?
You know what I've been doing lately for that? I wake up, I take a hit of my weed pen, I roll over to the person in my bed and I wake them up and I put a piece of gum in their mouth. And then I tell them to fuck me. And that's how I've been waking up like the past like 5 weeks. It's been real. Well, not every day, but you know what I mean? Yeah. Like that's been like my normal go-to.
It's so
lately.
Beautiful. Isn't that nice? Absolutely. Yeah. It is nice. It is nice.
Well, you know, first of all, I've never really liked morning sex. And second of all, I hadn't been having sex for so long. So this is like a new, completely new routine for me. I really like it. It starts my day out nice, you know?
Do you know,
fluffs me up for a good work day.
I was thinking about, like, time of day sex. Like, obviously, 20 years ago, like, what time is it? Now is the time. You know, like, whatever the time on the watch said. But, like, I think I've, like, morphed from being, like, in my, like, late 20s, 30s, I was super into, like late night, like 11 p.m., like, let's fuck, you know, till, like, 2, so I can still get, like, 6 hours of sleep for work or whatever. And then I've kind of morphed into, like, and maybe this is, like, the remote work, like, hazard, but, like middle of the day is, like, my optimal time. Mm. Like, my engine is on firecracker, and I want to figure it out, like, between, like, maybe, like, between, like, 1 p.m. and, like, 6 p.m., you know? And, of course, nobody is available to fuck between those hours. Like...
Yeah, that's like when I'm filming.
That's horrible. Dude. Yeah.
That's horrible. You're so cute.
Yeah. Anyway, I love you. Like, you're a fabulous, beautiful energy. And, you know, I'm glad we talk about these things for ourselves and for others. Like, you know, I don't think people are very happy in the world right now. And we know why. Yeah. But I think it's even more important to have like these discussions about how do you tend to your joy. There's never a sufficient answer that the world is so bad we should not feel good. That doesn't take you anywhere. That doesn't help people in Gaza. That doesn't help people suffering under oppression. That doesn't help racism. You feeling like shit about feeling good is never the answer. It's just not. Right. You know, so I mean, now more than ever, and I'm like happy people are riled up and people are involved in stuff, but like even more important, tend to your joys, don't burn out, because if you take in this shit all the time, it will either put you in a space of great depression or make you apolitical, and that's useless as well. So like, you know, you don't want to tap out because you're burnt out and like put your head back in the sand. That's not where we need you to go. We need you to stay fierce and on the front lines. So
keep fucking.
Keep fierce front fucking. Lines. Okay. Absolutely. Revolutionary sex is the best sex, so I hear.
Yeah. And listen, you know, if I can do my job hungry as hell, you can have sex once in a while in like a bad mood. Like, it's okay. That's a terrible, terrible piece of advice. I do not give you that. Take it back. Strike that. Reverse it. Thank you for tuning into the Screw Podcast. We love you so much. Don't listen to half of what I say, only the good half. And, yeah, we'll check back in with you next week.
Oh, fuck yeah.